serious organization I have ever worked inside has the same ritual. After the operation, after the launch, after the outage, after the deal closes or the deal dies, people sit in a room and they ask one question. What actually happened? Not what we meant to happen, not what the plan said, but what happened. The military calls it the after-action review. Engineers call it a post-mortem. Doctors call it morbidity and mortality, or the same thing. Lawyers call it discovery, which is the version where someone else runs your after-action review for you and you do not get a vote. The names are different. The instinct is the same. When the stakes are real, we go back and we reconstruct the decision. And here's the thing nobody likes to say out loud. Most of the time, we can't. Welcome to Warrant. I am Brian Long. I've spent more than two decades across cyber, media, and intelligence work, and the through line of all of it has been the same from three different angles. Somebody made a call. Time passed. And then we tried to figure out, after the fact, whether that call was sound. This show is about that gap. The gap between the moment a decision gets made and the moment somebody asks you to defend it. I'm going to make an argument across this season, and I will tell you what it is right now so you can decide whether you trust me. The argument is that we are building decision-making machines faster than we are building the ability to account for what they decide. We're pouring artificial intelligence into the places where consequences live, into security, into finance, into medicine, into government, and we're doing it without the one thing every other high-stakes field has figured out a century ago. We're doing it without a usable record. So the question for episode one is the question the whole show hangs on. What survives the after-action review? Let me start with what an after-action review actually is, because the term gets used loosely. A real after-action review is not a blame session. The good ones are almost boring. You take a decision that was made, and you separate three things that normally get fused together in memory. One, what did we know at the time? Not what we know now. What was actually in front of the decision maker in the moment before the outcome was visible. Two, what did we decide and why? The actual reasoning, the options that were on the table and the ones that were not. Three, what happened and how much of that was the decision versus luck? The third one is the one people cheat on constantly. A good decision can produce a bad outcome. A terrible decision can get rescued by luck. If you judge the decision only by the outcome, you will learn exactly the wrong lessons, and you will keep learning them. The whole reason the after-action review is a discipline, and not just a conversation, is that human memory is not built for this. We rewrite the past to match the present. The second we know how the story ended, we cannot unknow it. We remember being more certain than we were. We remember warnings we did not actually heed. We remember a plan that was cleaner than the real one. So the entire point of the ritual is to fight that, to pin down what was true at the time before the present contaminates it. And you cannot do that from memory. You can only do that from a record. Now hold that thought, and let me bring it into the world most of you actually work in. In a modern organization, decisions are not made by one person in a room anymore. They're made by a chain. A human asks the system a question. The system pulls from some data. A model produces an answer. Someone reads the answer, maybe trusts it, maybe edits it, and acts. Then that action becomes the input to the next decision and the next. Now run the after-action review on that. Go ahead, try to reconstruct it. What data did the system actually see? Which version of the model answered? What was the exact question? What did it return before a human softened it? What policy was enforced that day, and who had the authority to override, and did they? In most organizations right now, the honest answer to every one of those questions is the same. We don't know. We didn't keep it. We kept some of it in seven different places in formats that don't line up, with timestamps we can't really trust. We've built decision pipelines that produce consequences but do not produce evidence. And we did it without noticing because for a while it did not matter. When the stakes were low, nobody ran the after-action review, so nobody discovered that they couldn't. The stakes are not low anymore. Let me tell you why this show is called Warrant, because the word is doing real work. A warrant, in the oldest sense, is an authorization. It's the document that says you're permitted to do this thing, and here's the justification on the record. A search warrant, or an arrest warrant. A warrant officer who holds authority by virtue of a specific documented grant. But warrant is also a verb, and that's the meaning that I care about more here. To warrant something is to vouch for it, to stand behind it. When I say the facts warrant this conclusion, I'm saying the evidence is sufficient to justify the claim. I'm putting weight on it. So a warrant is two things at once. It's the authorization to act, and it's the justification that backs the action. It's the permission and the proof. Here is my claim. In the age of automated decisions, we have kept the first half and quietly thrown away the second. We give systems the authorization to act, the permission, at enormous scale and speed, and we have almost entirely lost the justification, the proof, the thing you would need to stand behind the decision when somebody comes asking. We have warrants to ask everywhere. We have warrant for the action almost nowhere. That is the imbalance this show is about. So let me describe what it would mean to fix this, in plain terms, because I do not want this to stay abstract. Imagine that every consequential decision in your systems can with a receipt. Imagine that every consequential decision your systems make came with a receipt. Not a log buried in a server somewhere, a receipt. A self-contained record that says, here is the question that was asked, here are the sources that fed the answer, here is the chain of reasoning, here is the authority under which it was allowed, and here is enough information that someone else could take this receipt and reconstruct the decision from scratch and arrive at the same place. That last part's the whole game. Reconstruct it and arrive at the same place. Replay. Because a record you cannot replay is just a story, and every organization is already full of stories about why a decision was made. The after-action review does not need more stories. It needs the thing underneath the story. This is the principle I will come back to in every single episode, so let me say it cleanly and let it sit. This is the principle I will come back to in every single episode, so let me say it cleanly and let it sit. If a decision cannot be replayed, it should not be trusted. Not might be wrong, should not be trusted. Because trust without the ability to verify it is not trust, it's hope wearing a suit. I want to be fair about the difficulty, because I'm not interested in pretending this was easy. Reconstructing an old-fashioned human decision was already hard. People do not narrate their own reasoning accurately. Paper trails go missing, but at least the pieces moved at human speed, and there were only so many of them. The systems we're building now break that in two ways. First, scale. A pipeline can make millions of small decisions a day, each one trivial on its own, all of them adding up to something that matters. You cannot interview a million decisions. Second, opacity. The most capable models on Earth do not show their work in a way a human can fully follow. They give you the answer. The reasoning, the real reasoning, is distributed across a structure no person can read directly. So even when a human is in the loop, the human is often vouching for something they did not actually verify. They are issuing a warrant they cannot back. Put those two together, and you get the defining accountability problem of this decade. We are scaling up the number of decisions that need to be defensible at exactly the moment we are scaling down our ability to defend any single one of them. This is not a doom statement. It's a design statement. It means the record is not a nice to have that you bolt on at the end. It has to be built into the moment a decision is made, or it doesn't exist at all. You cannot reconstruct what you never captured. Let me tell you who I think needs to care about this, and then let me tell you why I am not neutral. If you run security, this is your incident response problem. When the breach review comes, you can show what the system saw and why it did what it did. If you run a regulated business, this is your examination problem. When the regulator asks you to justify an automated decision, the model said so is not an answer, and increasingly, it is not a legal answer either. If you work in government or defense, this is your oversight problem, and it is about to get very loud for reasons we will get into in the next episode. And if you're a citizen, this is your problem too, because more and more of the decisions that touch your life, your loan, your claim, your case, your benefits, are being made by systems that nobody can fully account for. You are on the receiving end of warrants to act that carry no warrant behind them. Now, my disclosure, because the show doesn't work if I hide the ball, I build in this space. My company works on this problem exactly, on the record layer, on making decisions replayable and admissible after the fact. So when I tell you this matters, understand that I have skin in the game. Now, my disclosure, because this show doesn't work if I hide the ball. I build in this space. My company works on this exactly this problem, on the record layer, on making decisions replayable and admissible after the fact. So when I tell you this matters, understand I have skin in the game. I'm not going to spend these episodes selling you a product. I'm going to spend them making an argument. You can take the argument and go build the record yourself, or buy it from someone else, or decide I am wrong. What I'm asking is that you stop treating the record as optional, because the after-action review is coming for all of us. The only question is whether anything survives it. So, what survives the after-action review? Right now, in most places, the honest answer is the story survives. The narrative survives. The version where we were smart and the outcome was unlucky, or we were unlucky and the outcome was somebody else's fault. That survives because there's nothing underneath it to contradict it. And what does not survive is the truth, because we didn't keep it. The fix is not more intelligence. We're about to have more intelligence than we know what to do with. The fix is more accountability, a record that can be replayed, a decision that can be defended by someone who was not in the room. Next episode, we are going to look at what happens when this stops being a theory. In June of 2026, after one of the most advanced artificial intelligence companies in the country shipped its two most powerful models, the United States government ordered it to pull them, both of them, citing national security. Then the story moved as fast as it arrived. Access came back in stages, and within about 3 weeks, the order was lifted and the models were restored. By the time you hear this, they're running again. So you might think the episode resolved itself. It did not. Because through the whole arc, the pull, the partial restore, the lift, the one thing that never became available was the record. The justification you would need to actually evaluate the decision. We got an outcome, and we never got the proof. And it turns out, that is the entire point. I'm Brian Long. This is Warrant. If a decision cannot be replayed, it should not be trusted.